Good evening, and welcome to the continuation of yesterday's Board of Aldermen meeting. Today is February 1st, 2006, and the sole item on our agenda is the continued discussion of making an appointment to our vacant seat on the Carrboro Board of Aldermen. It's been an exciting day for cell phone calls and emails, of which I've gotten a lot.
And blogs.
and blog posts. And I want to start by saying that, you know, it's interesting that on the one hand, the commentators out there on the World Wide Web seem to think both that this process and this discussion is somehow embarrassingly disorganized, and on the other hand, that the result of the process has been predetermined by some party or parties unknown.
We wish.
If it had been predetermined, we would have come up with something better. But frankly, I think you see a board of people struggling with a difficult decision, and I'm sorry if it's not as organized as some people think that perhaps it should be, but I believe this is an important decision for our community, and I think it's one that should not be directed and controlled, but instead is a process that should be inclusive, and I hope that everyone can see that it is. Alderman, how would you like to proceed?
Perhaps it would be useful for people to reflect on their thoughts over the past 24 hours, and I guess to some degree, I mean, we are where we are, but to start with that. Does that sound reasonable? Rather than just starting casting ballots again.
Yeah, let's not start with that.
Let's not start with that.
That sounds good to me, Alex. I made you go first yesterday, so maybe I can trouble Randy to have a start at the other end of the table today. Unless you want to start again.
I'm willing to, Randy.
All right, well then we'll make it Randy's choice.
I'm fine. I mean, there's a couple of things I want to say, and the last 24 hours has been, well, difficult at best. And I did prepare a couple of remarks, so I'll just go with these to start. I do want to publicly thank all the folks who took the time and consideration of the appointment process to email and call me today. I didn't call or email anybody back, which is not what I usually do, but under the circumstances, I just felt I could not do that. Decision making of this kind is difficult at best. And so the comments of support that people have given to the process are greatly appreciated. I'm consoled by the fact that there is understanding, folks understand, that my ballot reflected support of Lydia Lavelle, and it does not in any way reflect a rejection of Dan Coleman. Dan is a superior applicant. I consider Dan a friend. I consider him a political ally. It is so difficult. In any other circumstance, advancing Dan's name would be done from me without any hesitation. we are aligned, you know, deeply in our values, in our political positions. And I have to, I feel like I have to say that. I believe, and I'm saying this to you, Dan, I believe that if you were sitting in this seat here today, that you'd view this situation with the same dispassionate mindset that I have to view this. So I hope you understand that that's where I'm coming from. It would be so easy for me to choose friendship. It would be so easy for me to choose, like, political alignment. And that would serve my purposes. But I have to ask what serves Carrboro best, and that's really tough for me. I am the junior among the group. I'm saying this to 17,000 people. It's uncomfortable, but I needed to say it, so I hope you understand.
40,000 because Chapel Hill allows.
Oh my God, Chapel Hill, that's right. So, that's just what I've been
watching.
Yes. Hello. So I feel like you need to understand that over the last 24 hours, that's where I've been.
Jackie.
I do have a method to how I make decisions. It's not just instinctual. How I make decisions is based on my knowledge of Carrboro, my years of experience in Carrboro, and my concern for the community as a whole and for moving the community forward. It's what I've done for a long time. We are in a hot spot right now, but hot spot issues come up all the time, and to make decisions based just on a hot spot issue quickly passes, and you wonder, gee, was that the right thing after the hot spot issue passes. Having voted against annexation, I knew it was going to put us in a hot spot. But what I'm looking for to move Carrboro forward is somebody who can hit the ground running with the decisions that we have to make. And we have some big decisions coming up in the next 6 months that have been bubbling up for many years now. And we need someone who has been a part of the community, aware of what's going on, involved in the conversations, not just from what they can read and from what they can gather from a couple people, but who was here, experienced the history of it, in order to make the right decision. If this was a campaign, I would probably be supporting Dan and Lydia. I think in a campaign, you learn what's going on, you get out there, you hear what's going on, you're part of it, and that makes it easier when you hit the ground running. One of the reasons why I supported Randy, other than liking her, when she was running, was because Randy had been involved in the decision-making process for a long time and knew what was going on in the town. I believe Lydia could learn, and she could learn fairly quickly. But we need someone who understands the nuances of what's been happening, has heard all the different sides, who's been involved in the conversations. And I believe that's Dan. And I will continue to support Dan because I believe it's best for the community. I'm very worried about appointing somebody because they're in the annexed area. There will be other reasons. There will be other communities, other areas in our town that have issues that come up over the next 4 years, over the next 2 years, maybe next week. I want our community to continue looking at itself as a community and not as areas and specifically advocating only for what's best for their area. I don't think Lydia would do that, but I think by appointing somebody from the annexed area, we would then be encouraging people in other areas to only look at what's going on in their area. Dan knows our community. He knows it very well. Dan also has knowledge of the entities that we need to work with in the surrounding communities and could do all of those. So for the good of the community, for the good of the community as a whole, and for our ability to function as we deal with these complex issues that have been bubbling up for many years, I'm sticking with Dan, and I hope other people will too. We have an election in 2 years. Anybody who wants to run can run. We have advisory boards for people to be on. I do not mean that in a derogatory way. You know, Randy spent many years on advisory boards getting to know the town and what it was like. We get opposing opinions from advisory boards. That is a very good thing. It helps to temper the little bit of a bubble that can sometimes occur on the board. I think right now, for the good of the community and to move us forward, that we have to have somebody who understands what's been going on. We do not have time for somebody to spend 6 months learning about government. So I will continue to support Dan.
I'm just going to start with some comments. First of all, I want to thank the people that called me and left a voicemail message on my telephone. I apologize for not being able to contact you, but I was en route from work and then picking up my son and doing what people do when they have children, acting as chauffeurs until they can drive and then be scared that they're driving. From the minute I walked through the door of my house and then went to sleep, and then when I woke up this morning, I have been thinking about this issue. And what would be the right and proper thing to do? I've read the emails that people sent me. Some I had the opportunity to send them an email and let them know I received it. Some I did not have the opportunity to send you an email, but I read all of them. So I really appreciate receiving it. I still believe that everyone that applied would have the ability to hit the ground running. I believe that everyone possesses skills and everyone learns differently, as I do know now for many reasons, to do where we sit. I believe that the skill set and the experience of someone who led a statewide association for a year provides us with a different perspective. And while the individual did not participate in Carrboro, in their previous residence, they participated in government. I agree with Randy. I like and respect Dan Coleman. But at this time, my selection remains the same.
I had some interesting conversations today about this whole situation, and as I alluded to earlier, like I'm sure all of us, I got a lot of email about the topic today from different residents of the community. And I called and spoke with a number of people who live in the annexation area, basically some of the very same folks who have appeared before this board and spoken about issues of particular concern to the annexation area. Because I was curious how they're viewing this situation. And, you know, some of them had remarkably pointed comments to make, shall we say. But I think the upshot of what I heard from folks was that that neither of the two people over whom we were deadlocked last night were people that that annexation area residents, or, you know, and I spoke to an admittedly very limited sample. I think there are some 800 or so, what I read, something like 800 people who live in the annexation area. That there were a lot of folks in the annexation area who felt that that they liked Katrina Ryan, that they liked Ms. Kalamanis, and a few other names were thrown around there as well. But there was the strong feeling that that although at some level Lydia Lavelle was I don't want to overstate it, but I think that the upshot of what I got from it was that Lydia Lavelle was not somebody who in their minds promised to be a representative to them, but that in fact a lot of people didn't see from their perspective a lot of difference between Dan Coleman and Lydia Lavelle. As one person put it, you know, they're both a pair of liberal Democrats. And, you know, that's not necessarily who we are. And it got me to thinking about the entire line of reasoning, and maybe y'all can help me out with this. Maybe I misunderstand what the reasoning is. But the way I understand it, the argument is that we should appoint somebody from the annexation area because this neighborhood deserves some representation, because this area of our town is feeling disenfranchised from the Board of Aldermen, from all of Town Hall, and that we should choose Lydia Lavelle because she is reasonably qualified, politically compatible with this board, and that somehow she will be uniquely well-positioned to build bridges with the annexation area residents. And I agree that she's sufficiently qualified to join this board. I've said before, I think all of the applicants were suitably qualified to be appointed to this board. And I agree, as far as I can tell, that she would be somebody who would be, you know, very politically compatible with this board. But where things begin to break down for me is I don't really understand the claim that that she would be especially well suited to build bridges, to mend fences, whatever your preferred analogy is, in the northern transition area or in the annexation area. I don't say that to put down any of her skills, but just the sense that I get, the reaction that I get from talking to people in the annexation area, that's not the feeling I get. Now, that's different than saying that I have no appreciation for your fundamental point, Randy. I do appreciate your fundamental point, which is that there could be some real value. And we got tons of email about this, not just today, but over the last couple of weeks, that there could be some real value in appointing somebody from the annexation area. I understand that logic, but it seems to me that if we're to go down that road, if we're to follow where that logically leads, and I'm not sure at all that I do follow that I'm ready to go down that road, but if that were the case, then my question is, well, why wouldn't the person that would be appointed be Katrina Ryan? I mean, because Alex, laid out an argument last night. She's a person who, whether you like it or not, got a significant number of votes in the last election. She's a person who we received, am I wrong about this, but we received a petition with hundreds of signatures from folks who live in the annexation area saying that they wanted us to appoint her. And I'm not, if that's the most important criteria, if that's what should really decide this issue and not the amount of experience, the qualifications, the knowledge base, if that's not it, because to me, if we decide on qualifications, on knowledge, on experience, then to me, it's Dan Coleman is clearly the choice. If we decide instead based on residency, instead based on drawing our community together and bringing folks from the annexation area to the table and telling them through this appointment that their opinions are valuable to us. And by the way, I don't feel that I should have to do anything particularly to demonstrate that, because their opinions are for a fact valuable to me. But if that's the logic, then how do we arrive particularly at Lydia Lavelle, as opposed to Katrina Ryan, or as opposed, for that matter, to Ms. Kalamanis, or for that matter, as opposed to Stephen Klosik. That's where I have trouble. That's where I have a problem. Now, let me add one more thing. I think I read on the internet that something like 800 people, I can't remember from when we did our reports a year or so ago, about the number of residents in the annexation areas A and B. But my recollection is something like 800, 850 people live in the annexation area. And none of them are on this board. And for a variety of reasons, or for one major reason, because of the actions of the board that most of us were a part of before, they weren't able to participate in our last election. But 800 people live at Abbey Court. Probably something like 800 people live at Arbor Meadows Apartments. 800 people live in a lot of areas of Carrboro. I value the opinions of people who live at Abbey Court. I value the opinions of people who live at Arbor Meadows. I value the opinions of people who live in the annexation area. We don't have to pick somebody from Abbey Court just because nobody from Abbey Court lives on this board. And we don't have to pick somebody from Abbey Court just because virtually no one who lives at Abbey Court, either for one reason or another, they're not able to vote in our elections. I don't ultimately find residency, where somebody lives, to be all that compelling. In truth, and I think there's something to what the one resident from out there said to me, that this is a decision between, that we're presented with a decision between what, as far as I can tell, are two liberal Democrats, one of whom happens to live in one suburban neighborhood and the other of whom lives in a different suburban neighborhood. And I'm supposed to sit here and say that there's a greater value to living in the one suburban neighborhood than the other. That makes that really doesn't make sense to me. Why don't people show up from Abbey Court and shout at us about how the deplorable condition of the housing that they have to suffer through, the deplorable condition of criminal enforcement in their neighborhood? Why aren't those people here? Is there something less valid about their issues than about the annexation area issues just because they don't come? Because a lot of them don't speak our language, because a lot of them have to work when we're meeting, because a lot of them are trying to take care of their kids when we're meeting? Is there something less valid about one neighborhood versus another? I don't think so. I don't buy that. And it's not just that I don't buy it, but I ultimately don't get it. I do get that people in the annexation area are upset, that they're feeling disenfranchised. And I do get that there's some value to solving that problem. And I do think that we need to solve that problem. But I don't see how it's more valid than any of the other communities in our town that are disenfranchised. I don't see how there's any more validity to the problems, the traffic enforcement problems, to the street conditions, to the taxation issues, to all of the things that people who live in the annexation area face than there is to the problems that the people in my neighborhood face, to the problems that are faced by any of us up here, or the problems faced by any of us who are not up here. So let's come to some resolution about this issue. We're either making this decision on the basis of geography and using geography as an important decision-making tool, or we're not. I'm inclined not. I see the argument. I see the virtues of it. Maybe I can even be persuaded. But here's the thing. If I'm persuaded at some point to look at geography as a deciding factor in who we should appoint, then my question is, why wouldn't it be the person who got hundreds of votes? Why wouldn't it be the person who put herself out there? Why wouldn't it be the person whose geography stood up behind her with hundreds of signatures on a petition? I'm sorry to go on for so long.
I'm catching a cold, and I have a sick kid at home today. I just dropped in Charlotte. I was in Charlotte all day with a really sad case of immigration of a family who were facing deportation, and while their husband had a working taxpayer resident sits in jail in Hillsborough, as a matter of fact. And I pray a lot last night and today about this process. And and I don't know if it's the call or the thinking I have been doing about this process, but I'm running out of patience. And I think this is a very serious matter. We are taking time away from our families. The taxpayers of Carrboro are paying for these lights, the air conditioning, for you all folks to be here, for the staff. And I just feel that, you know, we just went through an election. We have a new mayor, a new board member. And I was very hopeful that just last night that we really were going to see some leadership on really building consensus and building one Carrboro, and I haven't seen it yet. I'm very disappointed at my friends and colleagues who have been in this board for a long time. I mean, I feel we are playing petty politics. I remember my good old friend Mayor here, Mike Nelson, was sitting in front of me one day, said, you know, something like, "Poopo, get off the pot," you know. I mean, I think people of Carrboro expect us to make a decision last night about this. Yes, I know it's good to build consensus and everything, but here, I think we got two very clear candidates, and I just want to compare records and hire the most qualified person for the job. There is so many issues that the people of Carrboro and the taxpayers of Carrboro want us to deal. They don't want to see us here arguing. I love white folks. They like to intellectualize everything. But this is, you know, people have lives to live, and we all have bills to pay. And the more important things that we need to do to build community. You know, there's a Bowling Creek that will care about it, and we need to save it. We don't have the money yet. There is a community we still need to bring together and build unity. And obviously this process right here in this board and the leadership shown last night here is almost a joke. I do believe in miracles, and miracles happen, and people do change their minds, but I don't think we owe it to the people who are paying our salaries and who are paying, who we sworn to serve, to make a decision tonight based on their best interest. And that has nothing to do about geography or anything. I mean, to me, it's very clear cut. They are so, I mean, the budget, we should be working on the budget, we should be working, I mean, there's so many issues right now of public and safety that require our attention, and we're going to extend this process, you know, forever. We need unity. I'm really sick and tired of having sitting on a board where personal politics really was a factor. And I want to get moved behind that. You know, we're grown-ups. And we got, you know, this board, two folks who run for mayor, and one won, one lost. And I want to see somebody take the high road. You know, I really expect from Alex, you know, Alex, you told me during your campaign that, you know, you were going to mentor folks and really cultivate people and make people shine. And I really expected last night something higher, more honorable, and really good leadership from you, and I have not seen it. And I think we need, you know, I mean, this stuff looks just like Washington, D.C., you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, you know. For God's sakes, this is a small town with a small budget. And, yes, there are personal politics, and there's really things that we care about it, and we can get everything done if we have a team together to make it happen. Here you have the mayor of Carrboro, the oldest person in the board with the more seniority.
Not the oldest, just the most seniority.
The most seniority. I apologize for that. Take it as a compliment.
Getting older by the minute.
Older and good looking. And which, in many instances, I had disagreed with her. Actually, if you compare the voting records, probably we disagree in many of the votes, and including the annexation vote, which is the crucial one on this discussion. And I think we need to move behind that. I'm doing my part to build team, to build a group that really can move forward, and we need what I see here is a resistance to build a group, and I feel we need to really powwow this stuff or do kumbaya until we get the person tonight appointed. I mean, we owe it to the citizens of Carrboro, and really, if we need to go to the nitty-gritty and to the facts, I expect us tonight to go through that stuff. And if it's going to get ugly, we'll get ugly, but we that's what we got elected to do. I just am sick and tired of this plain politics stuff that it does not help us anybody. If anybody else, we're hurting, wasting taxpayers' money and wasting everybody's time. And it's just very dishonorable to do this with the oath of office that we took.
So you are supporting.
And I will still continue to support the most qualified person, which is Dan Coleman.
There's a lot to react to in what's been said, as well as the information that we've all received from folks throughout town all day. For those, again, like everyone else, for those who I had a chance to talk to, thank you. For those who I didn't have a chance to get back to, I got everybody's messages and read everybody's email. I don't know how many server farms crashed today, but I bet a couple did. And my phone is still hot. And there were a lot of interesting arguments. And there's a lot of interesting discussion. I also received communications from folks in the transition area and talked to folks. I think, Mark, you and I were probably talking to a different sample group, which, of course, is the danger of any small group, you know, a small number of people, you're going to receive certain responses. Some of the responses that I received were similar to the responses you received. Some of the responses I received, however, were different and were from people who have come before this board and expressed their concerns about process and about representation over time. And some of those people supported the decisions or the positions that those of us who are supporting Lydia took, and felt that it was an important step in the right direction. And at any rate, so there are a lot of responses which are all over the map. John, I'm just flabbergasted by your comments. To so intensely personalize a process and a decision-making process that was based on what I felt was clear, cogent, and articulated criteria that I laid out at the beginning of the discussion yesterday. I laid out a set of criteria and principles which are governing my decision-making process. I also find it perhaps somewhat curious to be lectured about flexibility when, from one who has not moved and from others who have not moved in this process, when, after having outlined my criteria, putting forward the candidate that I felt best fit that criteria, others felt that the candidate that I was supporting was in some respects too polarizing, I think it's fair to say, and felt that another candidate was a better potential consensus builder. I agreed with that. I agreed with that notion and changed my vote accordingly, while adhering to the principles and characteristics that I laid out at the beginning of our discussion yesterday. I remain convinced that of the candidates that we have before us, that Lydia best fills the roles of A, providing that voice that is outside of the clubhouse, outside of the box. That, yes, geography in that, and let me offer this as a preface as well, people who know me and people who have worked with me throughout the years know that I don't have much patience for symbolism. I don't care for it a whole lot. And as often as not, it obscures the real underlying issues. In this case, as I articulated before, there is a set of circumstances which have been created by the actions of this board which have caused people to feel a certain way. And those people are new citizens of our community. I do not think that by paying particular attention to a situation that is a creature of the actions of this board in any way devalues any other community or portion of the community. And if that's an impression that folks get, I apologize for that, and that is certainly not my intent, and I don't believe it's the intent of anyone else on this board. I would like to point out a couple of things. Let me back up as well. I would also like to second Randy's comments to Dan. Dan and I worked together on and off for many, many years. It is a unique set of circumstances that drives my decision-making process, which I will not repeat here as I outlined them clearly yesterday. I would point out that while not in this community, Lydia has had extensive experience serving in municipal government, both as a board member and on the staff level. And that is expertise that she brings to the table. And I think that expertise is cogent to this discussion. I would also mention that as we consider a diversity of points of view and of people who serve on this board, that for 12 years we have had a gay and lesbian presence on this board, and that has been, again, it's symbolic to some degree, but it has been important to many members of our community. And Lydia would provide that continuing presence. And I think that's worthwhile in our considerations here. For those reasons, I continue to support Lydia Lavelle, and I will, and I must reiterate that, John, from your comments about the notion of personal politics, again, I just find that shocking. The only thing that I can think of, well, first of all, I don't work that way, but the only thing I can think of is that if that's the default position that one takes in believing that that's what another person's motivations are, all I can infer from that is if that's one's first reaction, then that is the way one operates, and that's where that perspective is coming from. And if that's the case in your case, I'm sorry, I can't help that. But I will wrap it up here. I will leave it at that to react to your comments, except to say that, again, I outlined a series of criteria and principles that I used, and I will make my decision based on those principles and on those criteria. And I have done so.
Jackie?
There is nobody in the newly annexed area that this board could appoint and feel that that person was in keeping with the general direction that this board wants to go. Who would calm the waters? There are some very angry people out there who will remain angry at this board. They are not angry about who sits on this board, although that's certainly part of it. They are angry about their tax bills. And no matter who comes from that annexed area and sits on this board, those tax bills will still arrive, and they will still be mad, and they will still remember that in the election in 08. Or seven.
And probably 08, too.
Yeah.
Maybe she was thinking of the way this is going.
You interrupted my word there, lady.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
So I really think that appointing somebody from there is not going to do any political good. And I think it can do a great deal of political harm for reasons that Mark has outlined. And it would deny us the opportunity to appoint the best person for the position, which is Dan. There are many people out there who are not going to vote for a progressive candidate no matter where they live. This board is not going to appoint somebody who is not a progressive candidate. Okay? That's where we're stuck. There are many people in the annexed area who are very progressive. But the group that's angriest, they're angry about their tax bill and they're angry about who we are. And you cannot appoint somebody who's just like us in a whole lot of ways and calm that anger. That's not gonna, you're fooling yourselves if you think that's gonna happen. So our best bet is to appoint somebody who works well with the entire community.
Well, I've listened to everything people have said, and I'm going to have to quote Judge Irwin, who I clerked for. Some of the things I understand what people are saying, and I can see that point, that position, and the interest. Some of the things that have been said seem to question sort of the sort of methodology and to say that if you don't move to my candidate, then you are inflexible. And I'll leave it at that. I am exceedingly disappointed by the sort of personalization about it. So I'll just leave it at that. Having said that, I still remain in the same position I am in. Now, that means if we take a vote now, things will remain the same. And that's unfortunate. But we all have to live with the decisions we make. I don't live with you. I see y'all every Tuesday. I'll see some of you on Sunday. I'll see some of you on Monday. But what I would say is this. This is a difficult decision. If we cannot move from this decision, then maybe we need to think about, is this the way it's going to be for the next 2 years? And if this is how we're going to operate for the next 2 years, so be it. But again, I get a sense that that's my sense. And quite frankly, we can take another vote and we can stay as long as people like. But I think if we were going to be fair to the process, we all come from different views, even though we're progressive. We all have different views. We all have different experiences. We all have different education. We all were present for the presentations by all of the candidates. We all had an opportunity to review the questionnaires. And again, when I got home last night, I looked at them again. And I did. I'm not going to make, as I said before, it's saying, I'm against this, I'm for Lydia. And it is not about politics. I have no ulterior motives. I'm not going to be sitting here and say, I'm gonna say, I'm doing this because I want to get reelected in 07. Not a chance. Not a chance. Because of the selection I may not get reelected 07 if I decide to file. And I may not decide to file. My husband's going, ooh, I'm happy. My children go, I don't know. She'll be home. But we come at it differently. And if that means that I made the assessments and listened to the questionnaire, and I do have to tell people, I have gotten emails from people who live in areas that are not in the annexed area that said, she's a great candidate, and I hope you support her. And I've gotten emails like that. So to say that I'm only getting emails from the annexed area about it is not, because I've gotten on both sides. I think, you know, we are where we are, and the next question is, where do we want to go, and how do we want to get there?
Let me ask a question at this point, because some of the logic that Alex was applying at the beginning of the night last night seemed to suggest that, as between, for example, Lydia Lavelle and Katrina Ryan, that Katrina Ryan would be the natural choice. So I want to, and I'm, Alex, feel free to address this question as well if you want to, but I want to ask it more to Randy and Joel, because I haven't heard a discussion of that issue. But why Lydia rather than Katrina, if representation of the northern area, if representation of the annexation area, if geography is important?
Geography. Well, I'm sorry. You can go first, and then
okay,
I'll go next.
Yeah. Actually, I was last night. I wanted to tease out whether or not that was the issue, so I threw that out. I wanted to know how people saw the weight of the annexed area in the equation. And for me, when I reviewed the application and I pulled out my little matrix, Lydia satisfies several things. Lydia, by occupation, by training, by her experience, is an advocate. And I think that she has excellent communication and listening skills. I first met Lydia back in December, and I was really impressed with her style, her ability to listen, to engage, and also to understand various perspectives and points of view. So, and that's very personal. I didn't share that last night because I wanted to be able to see where the question was going regarding the annexed area. I think Lydia will be able to provide balance in a place in time where we need on this board balance. We need a teammate that can bring a fresh perspective, potentially without the alliances that some of us would have with Dan. And as I said before, and the only reason I opened the way I did, because I didn't realize we were going to go through our little advocacy speeches right then, but, you know, I would find it would be very hard. You'd need to use a laser probably to find the difference between where Dan would stand on something and where I would stand. Is that best for Carborough? I don't know. It certainly would make things easier for me. It make things very easy for me. But is that what we want for Carborough? I get the sense people are looking at Lydia and seeing her as only the annexation candidate, and I'm sorry if even I, you know, portrayed her that way. But as I said, I was trying to tease out the value. Lydia, as Alex pointed out, she is a member of the gay and lesbian community. She understands a minority position. She would bring a presentation to this board for a group that is very vocal, very active in Carrboro as well, and that has not been said. And I think that's important. And I think her presence on the board would enlighten us and further, you know, help us to understand minority positions. The voice of a community that has been relatively silent through this discussion would be heard. There are many voices not represented in the applicant pool, but for sure I don't want to discount one minority voice that, you know, that is reaching out. And I want to be very, very clear that is a factor. Is it the overriding factor? No, it's not the overriding factor. Lydia's personality, her experience in Durham, her experience with Triangle Conservancy, her experience with Sidewalk and Greenways. No, this is not about matching Lydia with Dan. You know, I said all along, the last thing I think we should engage in is, you know, rising one up and, you know, blowing out the candle on the other. Wrong. That's not good for Carrboro. Why is Lydia, if you look at representation from the annex area, why is Lydia more favorable than the candidate from the election? Why? Because she's not polarizing, period. Because she's approachable. She is amenable to change. She is flexible. And I think that's something this board needs. I think that's something that is part of a new dimension that we need to look to. It's not that Dan can't do that. Not at all. But we are looking at Carrboro being a very different place. And to not be open to someone who has different experiences is not Carrboro. It's just not Carrboro to do that. It's very easy for us to want to welcome someone that we're comfortable with. It's very easy to do that. But I don't know that that's what we need to do.
Did you want to address that question before we go to Jackie?
Well,
you don't have to.
No, I mean, I agree with Randy. And, you know, I I agree with Randy. And in the craziness sort of thing is, I don't think there's an expectation that any one neighborhood gets what they want. Not until people run and then you see that sometimes you don't get what you want when you get it. I can think of many elections where that's happened, not locally, but federally. But you know, I worked my way up on this board. I'm gonna spend a little time talking, so people need to rest for a minute. And I served on Owosso for 6.5 years. When I lived in Salisbury, I was on the planning board. And when I was in law school, I was on Student Bar Association. When I was in undergrad, I was in student government. So I have had some experience with governance in many ways. And the selection of people to participate in governance, governance that works, you look for differences and similarities. Now, I'm not going to play the this person has this skills or this person has this skills and the experience factor, because there are a number of people who we haven't discussed, who, you know, aren't a part of this discussion, who have spent considerable amount of time on advisory boards and participation in Carrboro. So I'm rattling on. I'm just going to cut it. I'm just going to say I continue to believe that she's the best candidate, and I'm not really looking at geography in a crazy sort of way. I get no political kudos for selecting her. You know, I'm not expecting some big vote in 07 because that's the position I took. And, you know, that's where I am. It's probably very confusing, and I've rattled on, and normally I like to think I'm more articulate. But you know, there are certain things I'm going to do. I'm just going to be clear. And my husband's probably watching going, oh, I've heard this before. And there are certain things I'm not going to do because I have to live with myself. And, you know, I don't know if I could persuade people to move off of their positions. And, you know, I'm not going to make any value judgments about why you do it. I think you did what I did. You looked at what you thought was best for Carrboro, and you made a decision, and that's what I did. And, I don't want to be it. I'm against this person, and I'm against that person. And I don't want to frame it like that, and I don't want to be in that position. But if you're going to put me in that position, I'm just going to say I'm not going to be put in that position. I think most people understand me, and I don't think it's too confusing, and it might not be communicated with sufficient clarity, and I understand it. But it is what it is, and I think people feel like that I do things with integrity, and I make decisions on what I think is best for Carrboro, as I do that I think the three people who don't agree with me. So here we are. It's one of those things.
May I?
It is for sure one of those things. Jackie.
Well, this is about as much fun as sitting around sticking pins in our eyes, isn't it, Gary? You know? Probably about as entertaining to watch.
There's got to be some kind of basketball game on right now.
Well, the girls play tomorrow night.
State is playing.
Okay, here's a question that I bet we can get a consensus vote on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. If you do not intend to change your vote between Dan and Lydia on the next ballot, please raise your hand.
If it's a question of between Dan and Lydia.
Okay. So, see, we have some consensus. Didn't stick pins in our eyes. So the consensus is that if the choice is between Dan and Lydia, we can stay here, you know, we can stay here for a long, long time. We're not moving on that, right? We're not moving on that. So the question is, even though this is entertaining for the folks at home, what do we do now? What do we do now?
Yes.
And my suggestion is, if you're absolutely sure you're not going to change your mind, you know, not going to change your mind, not going to change your mind, then I suggest that one tactic to take would be to remove both of these candidates from the ballot and see where that goes, because I'm not changing my mind on this. Then we end up exactly where I didn't want to end up, which is with a lot of folks' second choice. So I want to put that out there, and I want us to take 10-minute break and not talk to each other or other people and really search ourselves and make sure that nobody's going to change their vote and see how you all feel. I mean, we can sit here and stick pins in our eyes some more. Or maybe some people can change their vote. Or we decide that we will remove both of these folks from the ballot and move on, unless other people have a suggestion. I'd like to suggest we take a break and come back and talk about it.
John.
Keep hope alive, right? I think that I really would like to hear from the candidates. Why do they want to do this job? I mean, I think we're stuck.
They might not after tonight. Either of you want to withdraw while you still have the opportunity.
Either of you want
to
stay in.
And I think, let's grill them. Let's put them to the test.
I don't think that's fair. I just don't think that's fair.
Because it's not going to change my mind.
But it will do. I mean, that's what we got elected to do.
Okay.
It's not about us. It's about the town of Carrboro.
Well,
I'm
not for the sort of Socratic put you up on the cross examine table type thing.
We're agreeing on some stuff.
Yeah, because that's what I did well, and you may not want that.
You may not want it.
They may not want it.
But we might want to do that. So I think we need to.
All right. Well, let's take a break. Let me throw out. I think the thought of taking a break is a good idea. Let me throw out one other thought to y'all, which is, that we might do it. Might do what Jackie's describing in the nature of a straw poll rather than a formal vote, if that makes people more comfortable. I haven't really thought that through completely, but I want to put it out there before the break so that we can think about it during the break.
No, I mean, is it another straw poll about the two candidates we've been discussing?
No.
Or a straw poll about?
About the other 10 candidates.
Okay.
That's just a thought.
I have to think about that.
First. Well, and that's what I want you to do. Okay. And so we'll take a 10-minute break if people are comfortable.
And I'm not allowed to talk to anybody. That's what you're telling me.
Right. And
nobody's allowed.
And if one of you wanders off and doesn't come back, it makes life easier.
We will. Well, now, for the record, in that situation, the absent person's vote is counted as affirmative.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the motion is. All right, anyway, so don't do that.
No.
All right, we'll be back in 10 minutes, and it will actually be 10 minutes.
And don't talk to us.
Which is
8:18
on that clock.
That's how much you experienced crime.
Okay, we're back. It was laid on the table right before we went to a break, a couple of different possibilities, bringing Dan and Lydia up to the mic to perhaps respond to some questions. Alternatively, or not, I don't know, not, maybe not necessarily alternatively. Also, it was suggested that we go through a round of balloting with acting as though Coleman and Lavelle's names were not on the ballot. A third possibility was mentioned of doing that, but in the nature of a straw poll, a non-binding vote, just to see where people are. What what's the board's pleasure?
I really would be open to seeing if either candidate has any remarks that they would, you know, based on having us sit here and talk about them for two nights, if they have any remarks that they would like to make in reaction to our conversation.
As opposed to us questioning them, just if they wanted to get up and speak.
Or both, whatever the board's pleasure is.
John.
I accept the most ground questions, and that will, but I think sometimes maybe the candidate, the person itself, is the best person to present itself. We have presented candidates ourselves, but I have been persuaded by listening, you know, from the source, and I think we all too have an open mind and hear things that sometimes we did not, I mean, we know because of the interviews, they did not have a chance to tell us. But I really want to hear from the gut feeling and going through all this process that is pretty tough. You know, one more chance, why they want this job, and just, I might change my mind, you know.
I just want to say that, you know, were the applicants willing, I think for all of Carrboro, that would be a good opportunity, not just for us, because I feel like we're sitting right here, and I agree with John, you know, talking about somebody and, you know, giving them the opportunity to, you know, share their reflections of as we've shared ours is important for all of Carrboro.
I think that's a perfectly reasonable suggestion. I think I share Joel's concerns that, you know, we don't want to put anybody on the spot and make them uncomfortable. And so I'd be uncomfortable with...
I'm sure they're real comfortable right now.
Yeah. I guess that horse has left the barn, hadn't it?
Because we know you don't ask complicated questions.
Who, me? No, never. but sure, if the applicants would like to do that, I think that's a great suggestion.
Okay, so I think what I'm hearing support for is if they are interested in making a statement to allow some time for that, if they're both interested in making a statement, let me put it that way, is there some interest out there in making a...
Can I ask for clarification? I'm not getting to what end it is, you know, because you all just established, you know, a certain solidity of position in regard to the two of us. And, I mean, does any of you have a good faith belief that something Lydia or I might say in a few minutes right now will change your position? And, you know, in that case, maybe we should proceed with that. But,
well, you
know, I'm skeptical.
For the viewing audience at home, Mr. Coleman asked basically whether there was any realistic prospect that any of us would change our mind. He was skeptical about what the value might be in it. You know, I guess, Dan, you could say something that would really offend me. That's, is there any... Do you have any reaction to this concept, Lydia? I mean, it sounds like Dan's saying maybe we should pass on it. Do you feel differently, or?
I can go either way. I'd be happy to speak, and I'd be happy not to.
Okay. Board, you've just heard, she said she could go either way. She'd be happy to speak or not speak. Board, do you all still want to?
I don't know. I can't.
I don't hear a lot of enthusiasm from them, so I'm inclined to let it pass. But
I'm uncomfortable. I don't know why, but I'm uncomfortable. So,
with having them come up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But Randy's been trying to speak.
Sure,
but,
Randy, go ahead.
But I'm sorry, but you know.
Well, I mean, you know,
I can be persuaded.
I think they need to, they need our leadership on this, and yes, I think that it would be a good idea. I'm just going to throw it out there because I think that there's some things that we threw around, assumptions
right.
that Lydia can answer, and about her ability to represent Carbo at large and not be the annexation candidate. On the other hand, Dan may be able to speak to community building that folks may want to be more certain of.
Nothing else is working. Let's try it.
Yeah, I will. You persuade.
Did you put a time limit?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a time limit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to show you.
Three quarters of Gatorade left.
You know, with regards to, you know, leadership, I think if you want to do it, if they're looking for leadership from us, then I suggest no more than 5 minutes. 5 minutes is a long time to talk.
I'd say three. Okay.
Unless someone thinks of a longer length or a shorter length.
If you must speak for 5 minutes, you may. Let's put it that way. I've got a quarter to toss here to see who would go first. If y'all want to do that,
make sure that's acceptable.
I'd like some separation of the candidates if people are comfortable with that.
They're not going to hurt each other. What do you mean by like separating in time or?
Are we asking the same question?
I don't know that we're asking them a question.
Okay. Just letting them make a statement.
Right. Okay. I understand what you're saying. So we're going to do the same thing we did before.
But I'm proposing that they not listen.
Right.
That somebody doesn't lose by having to go first or second.
So we will sequenture. We will ask them to please voluntarily sequenture themselves.
Sequester.
Whoever
it's
sequester. Yeah. Yeah, that too.
No, sequester, not sequential.
Thanks, Joel.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Is that?
Sounds fair.
Sounds fair.
All right. So heads is going to be Lydia. Going first, and tails is going to be Dan going first.
Okay.
Just speak here.
Yes, please. Yeah, there's
would somebody
a room
please
right there.
Escort her and give her a beverage?
Yes, you true.
I wish you didn't want to right. shortstop and
we
get you a beverage
have,
if you like.
We don't have that beverage at town hall.
Is there a way to secure the mics outside?
There's got to be a desk somewhere that has a beverage in it.
I like
it's technical.
Well, the door's closed. I don't
think so. That would be all right. Okay.
Because she's in 101 and there's some bad acoustics anyway.
All right. Isn't this exciting? Mr. Coleman.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing I've been thinking about. And I'm not sure why this process has brought this to mind for me, but I remember the first day I drove into Carborough in 1979, and I must have been coming from Chapel Hill because the first thing I saw was Piggly Wiggly next to, I guess, was Family Dollar. And I'm like, what is Piggly Wiggly? Where am I? I was in a different place. And, you know, I went, okay, so where can I get an espresso? There was no espresso. You know, I think in Chapel Hill you could go to Carolina Coffee Shop already, or maybe Southern Season. It was a different time. And old Carborough then, and through the 80s, as some of you also remember, it meant something very different than what we think of it now. It meant a culturally different community. And my point is that I've seen Carver go through that change. And before I filed, actually back over the holidays, I went upstairs to get some of the planning documents, and I was looking at the map on the wall, and I'm sure you all have seen that map, and it's a map of 1990 Carver. And it's really interesting because to me, you know, and maybe this is just a factor of age, because I'm sure for some people 1990 seems like a long time ago, but to me 1990 is pretty recently. And there's a lot of change, you know, a lot of growth, and a lot of issues that have come and gone. You know, in the 80s we fought the battle to protect the watershed. You know, that's done. That was won. You know, we may have to fight it again in some other way, but that was a wonderful success story, you know, for Allie and for Alan Spalt and others who were involved in that. You know, a few years ago you all worked to preserve the Adams Tract, another great success story. In the 90s, Alex and I and others worked to create the Land Trust, and another success story. And, you know, recently, you know, I think it might have been Jack alluded to that, you know, we have this, I think you referred to as the hot button or something. And, you know, I guess the thing is that politics changes, communities change, and I come from the background of someone who thinks ecologically, and I think about communities that way, I think about politics that way, I think about change that way, and I think that change must happen, and at the same time, we get so caught up in the change of the moment that we forget that too is impermanent, and I think that understanding of impermanence, I think there's a wisdom in that, that I hope, whether I join you or not, you know, that I can express to you as something for elected officials that we should have. And Randy suggested that I might say something about community building. You know, I put things in my application. You know, I am a trained facilitator. I've done tons of stuff. I wrote chapters in my book about community, which was based on tons of research of all the thinking on it. But most importantly, I'll just go back to the forum 2 weeks ago when I said, with Katrina sitting next to me, I said, you know, to me, Katrina's part of my community. And I really feel that. And I think that the way we're going to build bridges with all the communities Mark was alluding to earlier is through our having that community feeling in ourselves. I have that in myself. I look for that in my relationships with others. And I think people respond to that, and that we have the chance to be advocates and apostles of Carborough as one Carborough, as John puts it, one community, with differences, with different views, different perspectives, different values, but that understands Carborough as a living, organic whole that works. So that's what I'll say. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Your turn to go to the green room.
Drew.
Is it green?
No, it's kind of like an off-white.
Off-white.
And then purple.
Purple would be nice. Yeah.
I don't know.
Naturally, he can because it's an open meeting, but apparently he's choosing not to.
Unless we decide to run around.
Is somebody getting...
Drew's getting...
Okay.
Well, right. There's
That's
nothing
community
else.
Community here.
Good evening, everyone. At this time, the board is considering two very well-qualified applicants for the vacant position. And what I would like to do is highlight what I think I would bring to the board. And I also want to say, as many of the board members here said, I recognize that Dan Coleman is a very well-qualified applicant for this position. And what I want to do is emphasize what I think I can bring to the board, the special skill set that I would bring to the board. It's been mentioned a few times that Dan has 20 years of experience in social justice and community activism. And I'd like to point out that, as has been mentioned tonight, that I have 18 years experience having worked with the City of Durham and having worked on a couple of volunteer boards in the City of Durham. When I worked for the City of Durham, I was an administrator in the Parks and Recreation Department. In that capacity, we had the opportunity to work with day-to-day with other departments. I worked with personnel issues, had a lot of staff I supervised, worked with budgeting, worked with Parks and Recreation had its own CIP, worked with maintenance, worked with property care issues. So in that position, I was able to see the inner workings of municipal government on a day-to-day basis. And then when I went to law school and graduated and found myself in the field of law, I found that I missed being in municipal government and got myself back involved on the Recreation Advisory Committee, and then a few months after that on the Durham Open Space and Trails Commission. Now, the Durham Open Space and Trails Commission in Durham is a approximately 15-member board. It meets monthly. It's a joint city-county board, and we have three full-time staff that were there every month. I also was a member of the Trails Committee, so I had two meetings monthly that I attended for 8 years. And as a member of that board, I remember in the early years, you environmental folks will recognize some of the names of people that were on that board: Margaret Nygaard, George Pine, Wayne Cash. And it was so interesting in those early years to be around those mentors of mine in the field of environmental protection in Durham. Well, and over those years, I, at various times, served in different capacities, but for many years I was vice chair of the commission. And many of those years, I would be asked, you know, why don't you be chair of this commission? And at the same time, this was overlapping with my service on the North Carolina Association of Women Attorneys, which I've served on for many years. And that's kind of a six-year gauntlet that you get into when you're in that. You're a committee chair for a few years, then you're vice president, you're president-elect, you're president, you're past president. So I knew with those commitments that the timing was just not right to do that. I stayed very involved in Open Space and Trails. However, some of the important projects we worked on there, we had a Greenways Master Plan that was several years old, and part of what we did was have to kind of constantly work on revising it. And in doing that, we oftentimes had to go out and meet with neighborhood groups. We had to, you know, sit with angry citizens and talk to them about why we wanted to put a trail in their backyard. We had to go out sometimes in the mud and figure out, you know, should this trail go here? Should this trail go here? We had to listen to people with horses and bikes and mopeds and all kinds of things about what type of trail surface we should have. So I did gain, I believe, a lot of valuable experience when I served on the Durham Open Space and Trails Commission those many years. We also, at that time, gave a great deal of input to, they were revising the land use policy in Durham at that time, and it went through several different committees, including our committee. It was a long process, and it, being a part of that process kind of opened my eyes to different planning considerations that normally, you know, I wouldn't have thought of when I first got involved on Durham Open Space and Trails. We also worked with various environmental groups. When I was on Durham Open Space and Trails, worked with the Durham Sierra Club, Triangle Land Conservancy, the Eno River Association, and the New Hope Creek Corridor Advisory Committee. Now, Joel, I think, mentioned my service as president of the North Carolina Association of Women Attorneys. That's a 600-plus member organization statewide, and during my year as president, which just ended this past October, we attained our highest membership ever, and we're in our best financial position we've ever been in. So we had a very successful year. And I think if you talk to anyone in that group, officer, member, anyone, I think that they would tell you that during my term, I was a consensus builder. I worked with diverse interests and personalities, and I think for myself, yet I am a team player. I'll address another subject, which already has been brought up tonight, and that's the subject of myself being a lesbian. And I think the board and I agree that that really should not matter, and I don't believe it does. But what does matter is that in many communities, I couldn't even say that. And I feel so comfortable that in Carrboro I can say that, and you people take it at face value, and then we move on. And I think that appointing a qualified gay candidate to this position would underscore Carrboro's commitment to diversity and inclusion. I've lived in the Triangle area for... I've lived in the Triangle area for some 20 years. I've lived in Carrboro before this. I've lived in Chapel Hill. I lived in Durham. And I have stayed informed about Orange County politics over the years, even when I lived in Durham. And on my questionnaire, my three priorities: to get as informed as possible, to work on the overall financial picture of Carrboro, and to work on connectivity and greenways and trails and open space. Those are the priorities that I would work on if I'm appointed to this position. Thank you so much for including me in this procedure.
Thanks, Ms. Lavelle. All right. If someone would let Dan know to come back if he wants to. Let me go back to just because I'm curious. Let me go back to the idea of asking the board whether they would be interested in taking a straw poll of how the votes would shake out if neither Dan Coleman nor Lydia Lavelle were on the ballot, just as a intellectual exercise. And because it might jog people's thinking about whether a third candidate is what we'd like to choose. It also might jog people's thinking about whether they might want to switch between the two leading contenders at the moment.
Dan's talk reaffirmed my commitment to him, because it, for me, reaffirmed his commitment and understanding of Carrboro. However, if Dan and Lydia were both removed from the ballot, I would vote for who I voted for in the elections. And believe it or not, I did not just vote for me. I voted for me, and I voted for Randy, and I voted for David Marshall. So if we were to take Lydia and Dan off, I would use the opportunity to vote for David Marshall again, because he's really smart. He's very informed on the issues, having just come through a campaign. He is a minority person. He's a single dad. He is a lawyer. He has lots of experience. He's a veteran, and I believe we will be seeing many veterans, unfortunately, reenter our community, particularly Hispanic veterans. And David will be able to guide us in that. He's very, very congenial, as all of us that were on the campaign trail with him found out. He made bridges throughout the community. He needs to learn how to campaign a little better. he did a very, you know, he was great in the debates, and I remember once turning to Randy and going, damn, I'll vote for him for senator, you know. He just didn't know how to campaign very well. But he won my vote. My preference is to vote for Dan. And hope that there's still some flexibility on the board. But if there isn't, I would try to make a strong case for David Marshall. Surprise.
So should we do this test, intellectual test, to see where this is?
I mean, Jackie has just launched into it. I guess we're not obligated to, but would anybody else care to share?
I mean,
I'm sorry, I thought that's what we were supposed to do.
Well, it is what we were supposed to do. We hadn't all agreed to do it yet, but
so is that what
never
stop
me. He's ready.
That's what I want. Okay. I want to. Let's do it. Just for what it's worth.
I mean, I guess my default would be, and to some degree, I'm getting this from conversation that went on around the table. I think some and I'm not trying, and I hope I'm not presuming anything on your part, Mark, but you posed an intellectual sort of poser, if you will, that where, I mean, I agreed with your logic, and so I'm not sure where you're going, but if we were to eliminate these two candidates, my first position would be then to default back to my original position.
That's logical.
To see if we might be able to bring, again, Katrina on board for all the reasons that I outlined originally. Knowing, again, I would also mention that this is a two-year appointment and that whoever fills the slot, should they choose to run for re-election, would be up in 2 years and would have to prove themselves over that period of time. And I understand the concerns that were raised about that candidate from other folks. But again, I outlined my reasoning, so I don't really feel the need to belabor it. But that would be my first – that would sort of be my default position or my first reaction to that.
Okay. That makes sense. We're definitely getting you on mic for this.
I can't believe you're still here doing this. Certainly, as much as I respect and admire these two candidates, Lydia, and which I even go to church with her, and then what it told us is that these are polarizing candidates to this board, which is not healthy, which had led us to think of something else, right? I like Jackie's idea, and I can live with that. I will support David enthusiastically. But also, trying to think of who will be who has the same. Fortunately, he's not black, he's not Latino, he's not gay, you know, but he is a great policy maker, and that's David Beck, who I know personally, who I think he will be a somebody who I think will be less polarizing to this board. This is based on my experience of knowing him, and will bring many of the assets that Dan and Lydia potentially will bring also to the board. I like the idea of David Marshall to cultivate. I mean, I do believe folks should, we should be cultivating new leaders and opening the doors and giving the opportunity for folks to get involved in politics. And I mean, that's something I even fought in the campaign, that there's many folks in our community who don't have that opportunity for many reasons. But given also the circumstances, we need somebody that needs to hit the ground running. I think David Beck can do that easily.
Mark?
I'm still trying to decide.
Can't pass.
No. Oswald, I'm saying we should do it. So, I think if we get back to another tough choice, I would say that there are a bunch of different people on that list of 10 that I could work with, that I could live with. But I'm torn in the following respect, that on the one hand, I have a lot of respect and admiration for David Marshall. because of lots of things that I've said before and other people have said before. But I have a hard time getting past the notion of looking down the ballot below the person who came in fourth place. And I've got a lot of respect for David Beck. And I think I mentioned last night that he's probably the person whose professional work I admire the most of any of these applicants. But I know some people on this board have some strong feelings about David Beck. I guess I would get over it and cast my next vote down the ballot for David Marshall.
I guess I'm next because I'm next in line. You know, I still believe that Lydia's the best candidate. So
we haven't decided.
Right, but
we haven't decided
I know
that.
But
up on
right,
either.
Right. But you know, sure. I was following your style.
Sure.
If you don't
Absolutely.
Mind. You know. At this time, it's not too offensive. But you know, later on in the evening, depending on how late it gets, who knows? But you know, I think that the individuals, and you know, I'm going to be different in name too, but I think David's work experience, I think his length of living in Carrboro, and just his personal interest, you know, would be good for the board, I think. And, you know, I'd feel comfortable knowing that he works hard, his thinking process is excellent. He will tell you where he's coming from. But again, I still think that Lydia is the best candidate. The other person I think that should not get short shrift, but I know that some people would not vote for him, but I think his commitment to Carver has been proven by the number of hours that he has given both on the advisory board and his nonprofit work with the Village Project would be James Carnahan. And both people mentioned would really, really work hard for Carver. And I know both of them want Carver to remain affordable. So, you know, that's where I would be. I still think Lydia's the best candidate.
Which David did you mention?
Beck. And it's not to say that I don't like David Marshall, because I think he is quite bright and brilliant, and maybe the only mistake he made is wearing that Duke shirt. But but I won't hold that against you. So that's where I stand.
Randy.
Got to be consistent.
Carrboro, I don't want anyone in Carrboro to feel that a board member was a consolation prize. I'm very concerned about that. I'm very concerned that when we close this meeting tonight, there's sense of wholeness and a sense of community. What am I willing to do that? I'm willing to go back to the original position of the original applicants. Lydia, that this would be my preference in the best of all possible worlds. But I will switch my vote to Dan if that will bring wholeness, because I do not want Carborough to feel that their board chose someone who is not a first choice. And that, to me, is my commitment to Carborough.
Hallelujah. Let's vote.
Mark, your comments.
Miracles do happen, you see.
What is this, round 7?
8.
8? My God.
Beautiful. Okay, yeah.
Gist.
Was it?
Coleman, Haven O'Donnell, Coleman, Saffron, Lavelle, Herrera, Coleman, Brown, Lavelle, Chilton, Coleman. The vote is 4-2.
Swear I'm in.
Congratulations.
Swear I'm in.
And as I like to say, probably thereafter, cuss him out.
You know what? I would just like to publicly say to Randy that every other vote she'll take from here on out will be easy.
Who says leadership doesn't take...
Stay for the swearing in.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to swear him in.
Okay. Who says it doesn't take courage?
Very good. Very good. It's downhill from here.
Oh, thanks.
It is. It's a lot easier.
Okay.
It's a lot easier.
What's your middle initial?
Frank. Down.
I could not let go
of it. I'm sure he has such a security number.
Okay. If you'll place your left hand on the Bible, if you like, and raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I, Daniel A. Coleman.
I, Daniel A. Coleman.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of my office.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of my office.
As alderman of the town of Carborough.
As alderman of the town of Carborough.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
According to the best skill and ability. To my best skill and ability.
According to my best skill and ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
This was your first major task, and I would like to commend you on your leadership. And like I said to Randy, everything else from here on out has got to be easier.
Let's hope so.
Good job. Good job, Mark.
It won't take two
days. It's been properly moved. Do I hear a second for adjournment? It's been properly moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay. As a matter of passing. Good night.